Welcome to this week's episode of the First Moves podcast. This week we're talking to Stein Willemse, usually my co-host, but this week we're talking about his difficult decisions to close down his company, Disorder. We'll be discussing how his perspectives have changed from starting the company to ending the company and his hard lessons learned along the way. So please give this episode a listen. Thank you. Welcome, Stein, to another episode of the First Moves podcast, where you join us on the other side of the table, where usually you sit here. This episode is a bit different because we're joined by Anaïs on our side.
Hi, everyone.
Maybe you could quickly introduce yourself.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Anaïs, as Sebastian already said it. I'm from Belgium. I'm a student here at Maastricht University doing digital society, my third year, and also taking a minor in entrepreneurship. And I am the marketing director of the First Move podcast. So, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to see you on the other side of the table.
Thank you.
Yeah, instead of behind the scenes, it's nice.
It's really nice.
Yeah, good, good.
So for the people who've listened to the previous episode where we introduced Disorder and you, Stein, they already know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for the first listeners for today, could you maybe introduce yourself quickly on what who you are and what you've been doing?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So my name is Stein. 25 years old. I studied here in Maastricht. I did my bachelor's here. And while doing my bachelor's, I started a company called Disorder, where we use clothing as a way to start conversations around mental health. Ran that full-time for a year after my bachelor's, then started a second company called Aurori, which I now run next to my master's. So I'm studying again and currently really just focused on learning as much as I can. Kind of finding my way of doing things, understanding how I work, what I can do, and how I can provide value in a meaningful way. I guess that's what I'm working on now, and a brief introduction as to who I am.
Nice. Great.
Yeah.
And the context of you being here today is actually that we're going to talk about you having closed down Disorder successfully, I have to add. Could you maybe walk us through the moment when you actually realized that it was time to move on to the next journey?
Sure. So I think it wasn't as much a singular moment. It's the way I look at it was that there were just these little pieces of information that were slowly creating a picture that showed that Disorder should close. Mm-hmm. And so this started already, about November last year. So November 2023, that was a time when I took the decision to take a step back from working full time for Disorder. And instead, I switched my focus to Aurori. Reason being, I at that point decided to be completely self-sustaining. I had support from the university, some support from my parents to pay food and rent when needed, but I wanted to go completely independently. And at that point, I knew that pulling money out of Disorder would not be intelligent because it's a very working capital intensive business, the clothing industry, right? And so taking money out of your cash flow is not the smartest thing that you can do to keep the business alive. And so I wanted to switch my focus to something else where I could basically earn more money more effectively without needing to sell a lot of clothing pieces, which is also a very seasonal business. So that would also add a lot of stress. So that was November last year when I decided to take a step back to focus on another business. Now, that was a key moment, but I think that kind of following that time period, there were lots of other different little things that were showing that Disorder had had its time. I think from the get-go, Disorder for me was very much a student project. It was never, I think, my like forever business, however you'd want to put it. I care deeply about it. I still do. But it was very much something that was something that I kind of wanted to say and put out into the world, seeing my past experience with mental health. And clothing was a way to do that. But I don't want to work in the world of mental health for my whole career, and I don't want to work in the fashion industry. So knowing that that didn't align with my long-term goals, I also thought, like, I can keep this going and pour energy and time into it as much as I want, but it doesn't align with where I want to go. So that was my personal side. And I saw the same patterns in my team members. So people, they had found ways to express themselves inside of Disorder, but it didn't completely align with what they wanted to do either, or they wanted to work, you know, in different industries or different places even altogether. And so then like piecing all of those things together alongside with people leaving the team because of personal reasons or studying elsewhere, all these kinds of things created this picture that just made it clear that disorder had had its time. And if we wanted to continue, it would require a lot of energy, an investor or a big bank loan to kind of get it to the point where we wanted it to be. But none of us really wanted to get it to that point per se, or maybe we wanted to, but the sacrifice didn't make sense. And so thankfully on our own terms, it wasn't forced by an outside party or by being bankrupt or anything like this. We could decide to close the business. So that's a long answer, but I think all of that context was very much necessary for me, at least in taking that decision, and also for the rest of the team to also make that decision with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, it's really great to see that you had to really do like a list of like what are the goals that align with like your long run goals. And it's really nice to and also to take in account also the other people of your team.
Yep.
So, yeah. And were there external influences that actually like economic or personal that impacted your decision?
Yep. Yeah. So I think when it comes to the external factors, it was me wanting to be completely independent. Okay. So I kind of had like entrepreneurship on a free trial for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to really do it myself because I figure I can.
Okay.
Or I could at that point, I can. And so that was kind of the financial point of, well, I'd had some support from my parents. I'd had some support from the university.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd already agreed with those parties that I would end after a year. That's what I wanted to. I didn't want to be dependent on people for forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a big external factor. And also the economic one. I think just the business model of disorder, like earning good money with clothing is a very, very difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And with good money, like I don't mean crazy amounts. I just mean enough to live comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, seeing that didn't align with what I wanted to do, I can work my butt off to do something that I don't really want to do. That doesn't make sense in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely fair.
So maybe to get into a bit more of the practical of stopping a business. So what were the immediate steps after you make that decision that you started taking for everything to actually be rounded off?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So first, we took a decision with the team, or the team at that point that was still active.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something that gets downplayed is that business is a very human thing. It's human beings collaborating, solving problems, working in a certain direction. And I think that was such a big decision that the first step that we actually took was some moment of reflection just to see, is this really the right decision, right? I think we could back that decision up and just say, we're stopping. But I think we needed time as a team to let that sink in and understand what that meant. Because I wanted to give the room, seeing it was a decision that we made ourselves and not forced upon us purely externally, I wanted to make sure that it was the right one because we had that freedom. So why not take a few weeks, a month to use that freedom and reflect on that decision? So that was step one. And then it was kind of clear, like, yeah, this is the right way forward. Moving on from there, I mean, for us, disorder was really like a passion project. And so we wanted to send it off in a nice way. So it was more talking with the team. How do we want to send things off? Who do we talk to about these kinds of things, etc.? And so for that reason, it was quite a decent process. I think the more heavy stuff, that's kind of in the works now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, talking to our production partners, stakeholders, charity partners, informing them, hey, we're closing, we've closed. I think that's like the heavier part of the business. And I think, getting all the finances in order, understanding how we can distribute what is left afterwards, like how that even works. Like it's not a monumental amount of money, but just those kinds of questions are things that we were working on now.
And how do you handle that communication with the stakeholders? Like how do you actually reach out to them and be like, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to stop doing business with you guys?
I mean, thankfully it's the people that we work with, they're not hugely dependent on us. And vice versa. Like we have pretty good relationships as well, but it's not like we're so closely entwined that, you know, we're their only customer or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in the end, it was actually quite all right. It's just setting up a meeting, shooting an email, or doing whatever and just updating these people. We've set up this order in a way, in any case, where it could be run largely automatically, where we didn't have to do a lot of work with a lot of different people, because that would be very time and energy intensive. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of built into the business model that it could be started and stopped relatively easily. It's not like we have a huge factory or a production site that we're working with consistently. And we just have one partner with a lot of printing locations, and they take care of all that. So for us, it was relatively straightforward. Okay. Yeah.
Could you share with us maybe like one unexpected challenge, if you had one, mm-hmm. one unexpected challenge that you went through or while like doing this kind of transition moment? And yeah, can you?
I think like I still believe it to be the case, mm-hmm. but I think Disorder did have a lot of potential in becoming a decently well-known brand. Nothing mega, right? But like a pretty well-known brand. Mm-hmm. And I think like just letting that idea go that I'd been working towards for, you know, 3+ years, I think that was difficult mm-hmm. at the beginning. Because I had spent years working forward, mm-hmm. right? I was constantly thinking, what's next? How can we improve? How can we mm-hmm. make this better? What can we do? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then realizing that wasn't on the path anymore, mm-hmm. Swallowing that it wasn't like a huge existential thing, because I'd reached peace with my decision otherwise, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd taken it for good reasons as well. But I think that was unexpected, that it was still something to process, mm-hmm. Because it was a dream for still a long time. Despite it being a student project, it was still a dream that I wanted to realize. And also, I think during the year when I was working full-time for the business, it was a dream that I felt I was carrying on my shoulders for 7 other people. Mm-hmm. So that put a lot of pressure on me. And I think also letting that go was also something I didn't foresee. But I think in that process of letting go, it was actually very liberating. And the more distance I took from the business, the better I felt about it. Because I'd always felt it was not enough, it wasn't good enough, etc. Mm-hmm. But the more I was able to take a step back, the prouder I was, and the more I realized, like, holy crap, like, I wanted to simply start a few conversations around mental health, and then a few years later, I've done that in 19 countries.
Like, dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
Exactly. Which is a cool thing to say now, but I think when I was, like, if you were to talk to me a year ago, I would mm-hmm. have been like, why is it not 20? Mm-hmm, why is it not 25? Mm-hmm. Why is the, like, how can I get my revenue up? How can I, you know?
Yeah.
Because my mind was always on the problems that we were having. Mm-hmm. And there's a nice quote I ran into the day before our closing party, which was, to live life properly, you need to live it forward, but it only makes sense in reverse. And so, like, I was living forward for years and years and years on end, mm-hmm. but only when I took a step back and I looked back did it make sense.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been a challenge to mm-hmm. to have that mindset switch, but a positive one for sure.
For sure, yeah. That was deep.
And considering that you called this a student project, but it's still a very emotional thing to you, obviously you poured like 3.5 years into this, what were the most difficult like emotions that you had to face during closing it down with like by yourself, but also with your team?
I think with the team, it's the what could have been. And I think in honesty, like there were some frictions inside the team, nothing major. Like we're all on good terms, but when mm-hmm. you're working together, you have different perspectives on things. And so naturally that'll lead to some friction. And it's actually like a healthy thing mm-hmm. to have as well. Some level of like conceptual conflict, not personal conflict. Mm-hmm. But I think like leading up to that, I think it was emotionally challenging because you think of, oh, what could have been? Like, what if we would have tackled this better? What if we would have done that? Would that have changed it? Mm-hmm. If we would have gone for this opportunity, or if I would have listened to myself more making this decision, would we be in a different position now? But I think the useful thing about this case for me to not have it be too emotionally draining is that it was never a forever thing. If you see something as something that could last forever, then swallowing that pill is very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. But for me, it of course, there are moments when I thought, oh, I could work in this business for 5-10 years, whatever, as like the thing after my studies. But mm-hmm. in the end, it was in some respect easier for me than not. I don't know if that answer even made sense.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then you're saying that it could have been a 5-10 year business you're in, but it only lasted 3.5 years now.
Yep.
Looking back at those 3.5 years, what are the key lessons that you learned during those 3.5 years? And what are the key lessons you learned from actually closing it in the end?
Mm-hmm. One of the first lessons that jumped to mind is when you start a business, I think a lot of people are so focused on looking outside of themselves for certain answers. So they're only focused on creating a product that would make them money or that ticks certain boxes. But I think if you use yourself as an audience who you make the thing for, the thing you're making gets better. And Sebastian, you and I had this conversation with Eric, one of our mentors, that business is very much a form of self-expression.
Yeah.
And I think the better you are able to do that, the better your business does. At least for Disorder, I think that was the case. Some businesses that might be different. But there were like some key moments in Disorder when we were about to release a collection and we had a feeling, we were like, it's not really there yet, but we put this time on the calendar and it's a seasonal collection and we kind of need to release it now, but not really feeling it. And in the sales, you see the exact return. You're like, it was okay, but it was not great. And then there were other collections where we were like, holy crap, this is exactly what we set out to do. It was like, we have found who we are. We have like our voice. There's clarity as to the message we want to put out into the world. And we full-heartedly like support it. Mm-hmm. And when we have that feeling, or when we had that feeling, the collections did really well. Mm-hmm. And so I think instead of looking outside and being like, what colors do people want to wear and what messages do they want to see? It was like, no, what do we want to wear? What do we want to see? Like, what is the message that we're trying to carry out? And the more we listen to that voice, the better we did. That's one insight. Now, of course, there's constraints on businesses and how much you can do, right? So that plays a part in that. But I think giving freedom for that personal creativity is very useful. And it stops you from getting siloed into thoughts or rationales that are driven by other people's ideas, because other people's ideas are coming from their context and their experience. And so something that might work from something you hear from an American influencer might not work in the quote unquote European context, just to name it simply. So I think just understanding what comes up in you and putting that into the world, I think that's a big insight. And I'm trying to find ways to carry that forward. But it's a hard thing to walk, because if you're very problem-solving focused, you just want to focus on how do you solve the problem the best. But then I think giving yourself the freedom to understand how you would do it and then checking and validating if that works for others, I think that's one of the things. Another insight, let me think. Maybe two more. And I think there's deeper ones, but these are the ones that are coming up for me now. The first one is having clarity is a continuous process. So when you start out, a lot of the advice is figure out what you want to do, et cetera. How do you want to do it? Yada, yada, yada. Make it all clear. Make a business model canvas, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Like, it's solid advice, but I think people get caught in the pitfall where they have it figured out and they don't adjust, or they adjust too often. And so walking that balance is very difficult, because when you're continuously looking forward and trying to enter like new territory, so to speak, you're constantly getting new information. And so balancing how do you adopt and implement new information along with the original goal that you had set out to achieve is a very difficult process to manage, because you might get information that makes your goal look worthless. Or you might get information that supports it, or that needs to change your approach, or that needs to, et cetera, or that challenges your goal, but from one angle, but all the other angles on that, on the same idea are actually supporting it. So then how do you deal with it, changing it or not? I think is very difficult. I think kind of having those very fundamental questions answered on a continuous basis. Why are we here? What are we doing? How do we do it? What's the most important thing for us to achieve success in the upcoming, you know, 3, 6 months, 2 years, whatever? Like asking yourself those questions on a continuous basis is very useful, because a lot of time people are thinking different things, having different goals, because they process the information that they've gathered in a different way. So continuously touching base with the team, with yourself, understanding with clarity of mind where we're going, I think that is very important. And I see that now with my other business, with people that I'm working with. These are huge companies, hundreds and hundreds of employees, you know, a lot of money or assets in these organizations, and they're running into the same issues and they're causing really big problems. So, I think if you can do that as a leader or just as an entrepreneur, then it makes your life a lot easier. Yeah. That's one. And then the other one is giving yourself the time to get that clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like the supporting insight, where I think it's very uncomfortable to be in a state where things are not clear. It's very uncomfortable to be in a position where your team is asking you, what do we do next? And you haven't even had an hour to think about it yourself. All those things are uncomfortable in some regard, but just letting that be there and trusting yourself in that process, or taking time for yourself when you feel you need it, is very useful. It's easy to just think, I need to figure it out now because it's uncomfortable. I need to get rid of this annoying feeling. But it's, the feeling will pass, and the only way to really resolve it is to let it sit and sit with it and understand it, and then use it to inform your decision.
Definitely. And doing those kind of uncomfortable moment. Did you have a support system? I don't know, friends, family, or mentors that actually played a key role in helping you navigate those feelings, or even this, this period, this. Did you have that one support system or multiple ones?
I definitely had a support system, in the sense that I had a mentor who I could go to for financial questions and legal questions. That was very nice, because when you're starting out and you get a letter from the tax authorities telling them that you owe them, 5,000 euros, you're like, I don't think I do, but you're telling me I do, and you're giving me a bank account to send it to already.
How come?
Hey, what's up? What's going on? Just asking my mentor that, please help me out. That helped dull stressful reactions. But I think for the day-to-day, I think actually, the team was a really big support for me. We're on very good terms with one another, and we can speak our mind relatively easily. So that really helped. I think my parents were a part of the support system. Friends were a part of the support system. But I don't, in honesty, I don't think I used it enough. I think I was very much focused on solving everything myself. Which I think is maybe a trait that a lot of people have when they're trying to do their own thing. I think that takes time to get over, but also learn how to manage, because sometimes it's very good to want to do things yourself. But sometimes it's not, if it's too much or you can't.
So would the advice in that sense then be of just listen to them, or just talk to them? Because you can also talk to them and then they give you advice, but not always the advice is the correct for that moment. So what would you say? Is it better just to listen to them, or just to actually go just talk to them?
Talk to them in what way? Where you're already solving the problem, or?
Yeah, just more of hey, I'm stuck on this issue right now. How would you help me with this? Or I'm feeling this way. Can I just vent to you, or let something out on you, or? Can you help me with this?
I would just be, it depends on who, but if it's more related to the team, then I'd just be asking questions of, what do you guys think? Easily. Every single meeting we had, I always gave space for people to say what they thought. And either I would speak more towards the end, or try to, or yeah, just continuously probe the team for their thoughts and perspectives. But with other people, it was more about venting sometimes just to get it out. Because, yeah, I think it's very easy to just keep it locked inside yourself. So, yeah.
And now looking back at the entire journey in a whole, if you had to do everything again, is there anything that you would do differently or change?
No. No, I think the... I was the person at the beginning that I was, and I am the person now that I am because of how things went. And I'm definitely not completely satisfied with how things went, because there was always room for improvement, and there's the could have, should have, would have beens. But I think that those events and occurrences are the exact lessons that I need to become better now. So I have, yeah, I wouldn't change anything. Of course, I think, oh, I could have learned that or I could have improved that. But I think the fact that I'm saying that only happened because I made the mistake in the first place. So it's tough. Like, it's not easy. I'm not like, oh, I'm super happy or with things now and I wouldn't change it. Like I wouldn't change it because the slight feeling of the slight negative feelings I have about it are the things that create the change in me to work on them or to change these things, or they're the painful points or lessons or expectations I had that were sometimes unrealistic or whatever. And just checking that with reality, I think, was a very useful thing.
And I think this is also a shown off that you've had the time to actually look back on things. Because if I'd asked you this question a year ago, I think there would have been a thousand things you'd have said, like, oh, I would have changed that, I would have changed this, and this should be done differently, and that we should have done differently. But now you've actually rounded it off in such a way that you can look back at it and say, actually, by making that stupid mistake that we all make, but I made it as well. And then now you can see how that actually helps you in your... in Aurori, your other company, in your future life and career.
Yeah, exactly. I think people will shy away from uncomfortable things very easily. And I'm saying that in a deeply uncomfortable time for myself personally. And it's very hard to embrace it fully and to let it be there. But it serves a massive purpose if you let it and give it the space.
And how would you say this experience actually shaped your perspective on entrepreneurship and innovation right now? Like,
it's very hard. It's messy.
Fair.
It's very hard and it's messy. But I also feel like I'm not going to say there's like secrets to it, but there's these mechanisms, I think, that you kind of learn or understanding how things work, that when you have that, you're like, oh, crap, that's like a little tool in the toolbox and I can use that. And then it ups the way that I can play the game of business or whatever a lot. So it's messy. It's difficult. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of stress. But also there's these tools that you can use to really mitigate those things and make your life a lot easier with them, too. It sounds a little contradictory, but I think like a few examples are like, you know, with this order, I already alluded to the fact that the business model was not perfect. Like the clothing industry is just very difficult. And then we would give also these workshops to the side of it as a way to create impact. And we would do them voluntarily or paid, depending on if the person or the client wanted to, or if they had the financial capabilities to do so. And then, you know, we could be working our butt off on a collection for months and, you know, earn some good money on the first day, let's say. And then we would have the margins, the last few months of work that would have to come after. Like, you know, you put all of this work in it beforehand and then you get some money and then you get a bit of money, you know, in the weeks and months thereafter. But then there's other business models where you can earn a lot of money very, very, very quickly because you have leverage and you provide more value. And the way that you solve problems or deal with pains of people or help them get further with their goals, if you can understand those mechanisms better, you can create something that is far more lucrative, mm-hmm. not only in a financial sense, but also in the impact you can create, because they're usually related, or at least I hope they are. Mm-hmm. And so then I would do these workshops and I would get paid obscene amounts of money for my age to do them. And I was like, oh, crap, like that's another route you can take, and learning mm-hmm. and understanding why are they even willing to pay that much money for what I do. Like mm-hmm. it sounds a little silly, but yeah, I think you learn to understand that mm-hmm. you can play the game of business in many different ways, and there's a way to make it very hard for yourself and ways to make it easier for yourself. Despite it being still very difficult and messy.
But I think that's also one of the keys to entrepreneurship, kind of. I don't know if you can call it the key, but it's really the trial and error phase of your life. And a lot of people say that that's your 20s. Your 20s is meant to just try out everything.
Yep.
And 99% of it is going to fail. But that 1% that you get right, that's already good for the rest of your life. And that's what you're trying right now as well. It's you did this order and you didn't fail with this order because you didn't make money and you closed it off in a nice way, didn't go bankrupt or anything like this. So it's not a fail per se, but it's more of a, you made the decision yourself because of the lessons you learned through it and you take those now onto your next ventures. So you're already through that trial and error phase.
It's
going to continue now for a couple of years still.
Oh, for sure. Probably for like another decade or so.
Probably.
If not my whole life.
Yeah, probably the whole life. But you'll have the lessons that you learned earlier on, so that the errors are going to be less than the trials in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think even if the sort of went bankrupt, and even if, you know, we failed on paper, sure. Like, I'm not someone who says like failure doesn't exist, but I would have still, I think it would have taken more time, but I would have still been very proud, because I was like, I was a very lost, relatively unhappy, not per se undriven, but like somebody who didn't really know what they wanted to do in their life when I, like in the year preceding before I started Disorder and the years before as well. And then when I was 21, when I'd started it changed, and like the way that it impacted me changed so much that I don't think I could ever, even if it failed on paper, look at it as a failure, because I went out there and my team joined me and we went out there and we solved something we cared about and we had impact on 19 countries. Like, I keep saying that number over and over again in my head because it's obscene to me. But to me, that, I don't think I could ever take that as a failure. It's just the model maybe wasn't intelligent. Financially, if that were to happen, right? So, yeah, it's always very gray. And I think
someone somehow gave purpose to your life at that moment and like gave you like a goal, something to look up to when you wake up in the morning, right? Like, you were like, okay, I have something to look up to. Today I have to do this. I have to carry on my shoulder this team, tell them what to do. And it just gave you some purpose and it just makes made you feel good, right?
Yeah, it was a nice sense of responsibility. And I think I learned how to deal with it better than I would have without it. And otherwise, I don't know where I'd be now. Like, I'd probably be in a, I would have done my master's already because I wouldn't have worked in between, and I would have been in a job that I maybe would have somewhat appreciated. But I think now, whether I go work after my master's or I keep doing my own work, I'm going to appreciate it a lot more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So with all these experiences you've had now, for the entrepreneur listening right now who's on the brink of saying, maybe it's time to shut it down, what advice would you have for them in the process of this?
Well, there's like the factual side. If your business is just continuously losing money and it's not working,
maybe it's time.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's like, hey, maybe you're just in like a 5-10 year process, and at some point it'll click and work. That's what makes it very difficult to make that decision. But if it's factually ruining your life, maybe don't. Like, maybe don't keep going. But I think it's so context dependent, it's hard to give advice on that. But I think there's the factual side to look at that. And there's the emotional side. Like, for me, it was much more of an emotional decision than anything else, because I didn't want to keep working inside the business for 5 years, so why would I do it for the next year? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It didn't feel as rewarding to me as it had before. Mm-hmm. And to get it to the next level of rewarding, like I said, bank, investor, whatever, I need more money. But then it's always the feeling of not having enough and chasing more and more and more. And that's something that I think goes contrary to what I try to value. So, mm-hmm. okay, that doesn't align with that either. So I think you have to really weigh, do you really want this? Is this really the thing? Or are you just scared of not having it anymore? Are you just scared of what people will say about you? Are you scared of sharing this decision with a team? Mm-hmm. Like, are those the things that scare you? Then if that's the only thing holding you back, then do it anyway. Like, the fear will be there. Just act despite of it. And it's probably the right decision. But if it scares you because it feels like this is the thing for you and you don't want to give it up because it feels like who you are as a person, then keep going. That's my 2 cents. I mean, I've only closed down one business, so my sample size is one. Not sure that's the best thing to build it on, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? Whenever, like, you're not, like, you don't have this willingness, this motivation anymore to keep going, and you're just like, okay, now I think I'm not doing this for the original like the original motivation I had at first when I was doing it, and it's not motivating me anymore. I have to stop, right? Like, yeah. And it makes sense to stop and just follow your heart. Mm-hmm. And that's why you were like, yeah, on like an emotional factor. Mm. That's why you stopped. And also, I feel like when thinking about it, because now that I'm thinking about it, it's such a great, like, you're such a great example of your own business, right? Listening to yourself, like listening to how you... like how you're feeling to run your business, right? And that's all what your brand is also like, was also wanted to bring awareness to. It's like listening to ourselves, to how we feel on a daily basis, right? Yep. And we wanted to know also what are your thoughts on the importance, you know, on resilience, because you had to go through a lot of things, right? You know, even when you were feeling down, you had to go through things to actually get the work done. So how did you actually, yeah, what are your thoughts on about resilience and keep going in your current work? And yeah,
when it comes to resilience, to me it feels like I'm almost always chasing something. And it's exactly that process of chasing it that is resilience to me in some regard. So, like, you'll have your own definition of what a tough time feels like. And dealing with that is very difficult. But what I would define as a tough time a year ago or even, you know, 5 years ago is very different than how I define it now. Now it feels a lot heavier and a lot bigger. And I think in some regards, like, what I'm going through now is, but it feels just as heavy as it did before. So, like, the amount of weight on my shoulders has gone up, but it feels just as difficult. And so resilience is this thing for me where you're going through life, and I think if you're growing, the questions and the problems that you deal with, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, but they feel just as difficult. And I think now I'm more at peace where, like, yeah, the phase that I'm in now might take, you know, a year or whatever to resolve. But having that, like, awareness where these lows that you have and, like, finding peace in them, I think that's what resilience is. Nice. Because it allows you to just deal with the day-to-day. And it's very difficult. Very difficult. Yeah, but I think that's why, to me, it's like a never-ending thing.
You know, I really like the part where you say it's really finding your peace within these downs, you know? It's really finding that one balance where you're just like, actually, I'm just going to keep going. Even though it's down, I'm just going to keep going. And it's really inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like there's a mountain of shit on top of you. And it's also, like, I can't see the sun anymore. And then how are you going to get out? Like, that's a very... difficult thing. So then just taking it day by day and just letting that emotion be there. Because otherwise you start to react to it quickly, and you start to look for ways to fill certain holes that you might have, or or like deal with your discomfort in very unconstructive ways, which I have a lot of experience with. So then finding ways to do that constructively, I think that's resilience, is to keep kind of working towards the light, or however you want to put it, to not make it sound too big, and keep chasing that. But the exact process of chasing it and committing yourself to it constructively is what resilience is.
And maybe can you share with someone out here how to go step by step? Like, what is your process?
I mean, it's like, I am no pro at this at all.
I mean, just share.
Sure.
We never know.
I just, like, I will take a moment to take a step back and just realize that the time or the issue or the obstacle that I'm facing is difficult. It's like, just recognize this is a difficult moment. This is a difficult time. Just saying that and accepting it is a positive experience. Like, if you start to reject it, that's not so constructive. So just recognizing it's just a difficult time, you know, that's life. It happens. And then from there, I kind of write down maybe some of the key points that I'm struggling with. And from there, derive things that I need. So for me now, I need routine. I need persistence and like strength in terms of personal boundaries. And I need self-compassion. Like, this is kind of off the top of my head what I wrote down going into the phase that I'm in now. And so you just like have to hold on to those things and remind yourself of them. Like, okay, I need routine. I said I would, you know, work out X times a week. I've only done two. It's Sunday, Stein. You need your third one. Just get after it. You hate the feeling right now, but just do it. Like, by having that clear as one of the things that you need to deal with a difficult time, I think you're more motivated to do it. If you just say, I'm going to work out three times a week, but not give it a reason why, then that makes it difficult. So recognize it's a difficult time, break down why, and break down what will help you, and then make some kind of plan to do it.
Does it help for you as well to write it down, or is this just something that happens in your head usually?
I usually write it down. I like to have reminders as well in my room, just post-its. I think that usually helps me. Writing it just gives it space. Like, I don't like to get too stuck on the things, and I think sometimes it's like overwriting where you just keep writing for days and days and days and days and days, but you don't get anywhere. Like, you're not actually living it. So there's like a time and a place to do that. But it's just that, I think Anne Frank said it, it's like paper is a lot more patient than people. So you can just vent to it all you want and work it out and tackle problems from different sides.
And to get more onto you and what you're going to do next.
Sure.
What's next for you?
So next for me, finishing my master's now. So I made that decision after working for Rory, the other company, full time for a year, because I felt like I was lacking some key pieces of knowledge, and I was wondering, okay, where can I go next? And then I could go get a job, I could take a loan to have more playtime with disorder, or with the Aurora, excuse me. I could find an investor, etc., to just give me more time to learn those pieces of information, or I could go do a master's. So now I'm doing a master's in change management, which is the direction that I kind of want to work in towards over the long run. So focusing on doing that well is one key point. But I think next to that, I have one big client now for Rory, which I work for a couple of days a week, which is super exciting client work. Like, it's the coolest job I've had so far, I think, ever. So I think focusing on that. And then just kind of that clarity question that I was talking about before. Instead of doing that for an organization, doing it more for myself. There's been so many changes in the last few years of my life that I feel like I've kind of lost that North Star. I know it's there, but I just kind of need the clouds to move out of the way and then I can see it again. So I think working on getting those clouds out of the way will help me as well.
So we usually have this closing tradition on the podcast where our guest brings an item in. Mm. Since you've already been on the podcast before, and this is a bit of a different context today,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can just ask you a question as today's closing tradition.
Sure.
And that is, if you had to pick one defining moment from everything you did with this order, what would it be and why?
I think it was the moment that I switched from looking forward and only trying to improve things to looking back. Mm. And so this is a very distinct moment for me where we had scheduled a team weekend in March 2024, I think it was. And we'd rented a house in the hills here in Limburg and just got all together in the house and just spent time. We would, you know, go out to restaurants and mm-hmm. go for walks and just spend quality time together mm-hmm. with the team. And it was a really, really lovely experience. But it was also a time in the team when there was really high tensions. And it was also 4 months after I decided to take a step back, which was taken by the team not in the nicest way, because I, in some sense, kind of abandoned them from working full time. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was just kind of a moment to land. And there was a piece of text that I had written for the team, which was basically looking back. So it was like I'd finally kind of settled into my head that we had achieved a lot. So, you know, we were a scrappy team of university students with zero experience in a very small city, in a very small country, in the corner of Europe, who decided to work on something that they cared about and who at that point spread it. I think then it was like 14 or 17 countries around the world.
Damn.
So it was just like, it was just taking a moment with the team and just like drilling it home to them. Like things might not be super nice now in terms of the foresight. And it was the moment when it was also sinking in that disorder might close. Mm-hmm. But look at what the hell we did. Mm-hmm. Like we can focus on shit, it's all going wrong, yada, 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 yada. But just take a second to look back. I think that was a really defining moment. And it was the moment when I think one of the first moments when I felt properly proud of what we'd done, mm-hmm. Which is rare for me to feel. So I think having that was very nice.
I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, that's a rare thing to yeah. feel, is because everything is always like, oh yeah, yesterday was a good day, but tomorrow might be shit again. So let's focus on what's going to happen tomorrow and make sure it's not going to be a shit day again.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's a very good thing that you got that clarity at some point as well. Mm-hmm. Like actually, looking back, I am proud of this.
Yeah.
We did do this.
Yeah.
We did it right, and we did it the good way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It might look bad now, but...
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, I started this order with just a little over 1,000 euros in my savings.
Wow.
Like, and building it over 3 years with a group of people to sell in 19 countries, like, that's obscene to me. Like, realizing that now, I'm like, what the hell did we do?
Yeah.
You know? But then you're just... That's because you're so focused on solve problem, mm-hmm. get better, that you don't see that. So, yeah, realizing that is like, oh shit, we did something.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stein, for coming.
Thanks. I hope I made sense.
And joining us on the other side, definitely. And thank you for sharing your, it's a very personal story as well of closing down the company. So thank you very much for opening that up. And I hope the listeners are going to get great value out of it. At least we did
get great value out of it.
I hope so too. And also like for those listening, if anything, the message of today should be, if you haven't started yet and you have an idea to start, just start. Like, you don't lose anything. I haven't lost anything. I've only gained and grown. So just go. Like,
Don't be scared of the potential failure on the other side.
No. Mm-hmm. And if you're scared, take a moment to understand the fear, sit with it, understand where it comes from, and then act despite of it, and you will feel better and stronger on the flip side. So just do it. Wow, Nike needs to pay me for that one.
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you very much for listening to that episode of First Moves. If you want to connect with our guests personally, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn at First Moves. We also have an Instagram called First Moves Podcast. And lastly, if you could take a moment to leave a review, it helps us make the show better for you, but also helps us get even better and more insightful guests over the long run. Thank you very much and have a great day.